Hi, it's James. Welcome back. So last week I said I was done texting and I meant it. But in that same podcast, I talked about how I tend to go to extremes and how it's easier to fast than it is to eat in a controlled manner. And so I went from a problem I had with texting to I'm never going to text again. So let me explain how that has balanced itself out, because it has. So I was done with texting because I had been misunderstood in a text more than once. But I realized it was specifically with my kids, because I still can text friends and still text my wife. There's just things that you don't want to call about because she's at work, but you could drop a note. And even if she's in a meeting, she can respond. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, when with my kids, I'm going to call them and talk with them instead of texting, because I have a really bad habit of not saying things I should say. Yeah, I don't tell them I love them enough. And I don't know when that started. Maybe it definitely tapered off after they stopped having to go to be put to bed, you know what I'm saying? With prayers and stuff. When they got too old for me. It wasn't an intentional decision. There just weren't as many opportunities. And so I have all this unstated love for them. And what that typically means is I will find a photo that Google Images pulls up and shows me that pulls on a heartstring, and I share it with them and then mention a little bit and tell them how proud I am of them and how much I love them. They never respond. First of all, I kind of get it. I kind of know why. Because my mother does that. She sends a meme, you know, you're my firstborn, blah, blah, blah. And it's cringe. And so obviously it's cringe when I do it. Secondly, I'm always like, why can't she say that? And then I do the same thing to my kids. So I've got to stop texting how I feel and start saying it. Even if there's nothing said back, I have got to put in the effort because it's what I want from my mother, or what I would want from my mother. I don't think it's possible, and I don't know how I'd receive it at age 52 after having never really gotten it. My kids are still young. So, I don't know. I just think about it, and I'm not going to make an excuse, but I don't think I've ever called my daughter the entire time she's been away at school. I've never just called her. And part of that is because something happened. And I don't know what it is. I don't know exactly what it is. But there was some trouble when she was younger. She didn't do anything horrible. She just deceived us, lied to us, and we had to deal with it. And I thought we were very fair. But it put a wedge between me and her. And I don't think until recently she forgave me of that through a text. Through a daggum text about a year ago, I put in there that because I'm brave through a text, said that holding on to something this long isn't healthy and we need to work through it. And I challenged her to think about everything through the eyes of an adult instead of remembering what she remembered as a kid. And things have changed. She will talk to me. I will talk to her. So when I say I haven't Calder in 4 years or 3 years. That's part of the reason. Another reason is I'm self-centered. My depression makes me self-centered. I don't intentionally get that way, but when I'm just trying to survive, I get horribly self-centered. You know, an example would be she comes to visit and she's talking to her mom, and it's just, I feel like I'm bringing down the room. And so I will leave and go downstairs to my office. Get on YouTube, you know. And that's just one example. We'll go out as a family and I'll be extra quiet because I feel like anything I say or do will be considered cringy or cheesy. And for a while there, I did struggle with not knowing, and I still do, I guess. I don't know what they need from me. When they were young, it was so easy. It was so simple. I knew exactly what they needed because it's exactly what I had wanted as a child. They needed me to be present, to love their mother, and to play with them and to tell them how awesome they were and just believe it with my whole guts. And I did that. I was a great dad. But I probably was too harsh on my daughter when she failed. Again, nothing horrible. Just, it was our first kid, and your first kid does something stupid, you come down hard, right? Because it disappoints you. And they never had done anything like that before, and so it hurts. And I may have overdone it. We never yelled at her. But I did go through her room. I did look on her phone. I did, I would have done all the same things. I probably just would have done it differently. I would have done it with long-term goals in mind, because it ultimately, the way I handled it resulted in her and I not being able to have a good relationship for a number of years. And so, maybe the last half of high school and the first couple years of college. So it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. And my son gets the benefit of that, because when he's late to get home past curfew, I don't lose my mind. I don't get mad. Just remind him that he should have called. And that's very rare that he doesn't. But when he does, I'm thinking about the future. I'm laying the groundwork for what our relationship is going to be like later when he doesn't need me anymore. And I didn't do that with Jenna. And so I have a lot of regret. She was a great kid. You guys, have been there. I mean, I started podcasting when she was a year old. So she's kind of grown up with that story show. And you've probably heard me talk about her all the way up. And, she has grown into an amazing young woman that I'm super proud of and I love dearly. But I have not been involved in her life in a significant way. And I don't know if it's normal. I don't know that it's good. And that's the problem, is when they were little, I knew what they needed. But by the time I was their age, I didn't need anybody. my parents were gone. I mean, my stepdad and my real dad, and then my mom had just lost her mind about me wanting to grow up and leave the house. And she had severed all ties. And I learned to live without them. And I didn't want to be loved by them. I didn't want to be dependent on anybody. And so now I realize I don't know how to be a good parent to my older children, because I don't know what I would have wanted. I can imagine, but see, when I'm depressed, I don't know. I believe things that may or may not be true. What I believe when I'm depressed is that they don't want you involved in their life. They don't need you. You were great when they were little, but they talk to their mom now. And you're just like that dad in the movies that they say hi dad to when they come over to visit, but you're watching TV or the sports or something, and they love you and they'll cry when you die, but that's it. And I kind of think, yeah, I guess when they have kids, I'll have a chance to shine again, because I'll know what to do with my grandkids. And I can get in good with them by loving their kids. But then when I'm okay, I feel like I should call her, see what's going on. It might be a little awkward. It definitely will be unexpected. But I'll give you an example. And it's about texting. Before last week's decision to never text, I was working down here at my job, and I was playing classic rock, and one of the songs came up, and it just made me think of her. And so I shared it with her, and she, for the first time ever, responded to my text and said, "I love that song." You know, I said, I figured you knew it, but that's the vibe this morning, and I wanted to share that with you. And so I found a way in, you know, finally one of my meme texts worked. And that was huge. It made my day, which softened my heart toward my mom a little bit, to be honest. Because though I say I would love for her to call more, I don't think I really would. She and I had a big text conversation Saturday morning that lasted about 30 minutes. And in that time, I realized this should be a phone call. But I was like, no, this is what she's comfortable with. And I can get tripped up over what it should be if we had a normal relationship, but we don't. I shouldn't mourn that. I should just embrace what we have and let it be what it is. Some of my patrons will tell you that I put a question to them because of her. She was listening to this show, and she was getting information about me and my family, like you do. And then she would text me about it and ask me questions and stuff. And it really upset me, because it's like, you have a curiosity about how my life's going, but you can't call me and ask me how things are going. You got to find out through a show I do. And so I told patrons, I says, should I make this a patron-only show? Obviously, I didn't want to. I don't want to ostracize people that can't afford to support the show. I love you guys. But that's how much it upset me. And one of the patrons said, everybody was real supportive and said, you know, probably not the best idea, but we'll support what you do. But one person said, I feel you, because my relationship with my mom is bad, but I would love it if she reached out to me with a text. And I was like, okay. So it helped me reframe everything. And it's like, at least she has interest. It's not the way I would want it. It's not the way I need it or would have needed it. You know, in a way that's satisfying to me. It's to me, the reason why I'm upset by it is it's the easy way to have a relationship without any of the work. You can just passively listen to my stories and you get a feel for what we're doing. But you guys got to know I don't tell you everything. I tell a lot. But there's stuff that happens that's not appropriate for this show because it's personal, very personal and family oriented and all that stuff. Stuff I would share with my family. She doesn't get to hear it, right? Because she's only listening to the show passively. She doesn't have to put in effort to have a relationship with me because she has it through the show. That irritates me. It very much irritates me on principle. But again, I don't want her calling every day. I don't want to talk to her more than once a month. So I have to be practical, realize what's what, and it is what it is. So all that to say, maybe I do know a little bit about what my kids need after all, now that I'm saying it out loud. They need me to be interested in them. And I haven't really shown that. I haven't. And there's plenty of reasons and plenty of excuses, but at the end of the day, I still haven't done it. I've started to change, but not how I will after this episode. So I journal and stuff, but talking it out like this really helps. They need me to be interested in their life. They don't need me to hug on them. They don't need me to throw them around, hold them upside down, tell them bedtime stories. They don't need me to drive them places and all that kind of stuff. But they do need me to be interested in their life. And when I'm depressed, I don't believe that at all. They don't need me for anything. I'm a drain. I'm a burden. I'm a problem. And I hardly have the energy to give. How would you like that story show ad-free with a bonus podcast every episode? You want that? Of course you do. From today until December 2nd, you can become a supporting listener and save 20% off an annual membership. A year of ad-free listening would be a great gift for yourself or someone special. Go to patreon.com/thatstoryshow. Enter code BLACKFRIDAY2025. That's BLACKFRIDAY2025. Enjoy some features like ad-free listening, stuff that didn't fit on the show, our bonus podcast, access to Patreon-only updates, Discord roles, and of course, our undying gratitude. Thank you for considering becoming a supporting listener for That Story Show. Let's get back to it. Bye. My wife used to tell me I'm not a failure. I wasn't a failure because I have depression, so I can't be held responsible for a lot of the things that I can and can't do. And I would just not agree with that on principle, because I hold myself to a pretty hard to live up to standard that if I don't meet consistently, I feel like a failure. And here's why. If I had a job on a particular Saturday, and that job was to get a wedding cake to a wedding, right? But on the way, the car breaks down and I don't get the cake to the wedding. Is it my fault that the cake didn't get to the wedding? No, it's not. The car broke down. Anyone would understand. But there's two things. One, people are going to get hurt. Their lives are going to be changed. So that's the first one. And the second one is it's because ultimately I didn't get the cake there. I failed. Was it my fault? No. But did I fail? Yes. So ultimately, I don't think it matters if you meant to or not. If you had an issue with self-value, if you had depression, when somebody needs something and you can't do it, you have failed them. And that's something I believe rather strongly. But when I'm down, you add to that that it's going to be forever that way. That I have let them down and it's permanent. Like you've done it so hard. You've let them down so much that there is no fixing it. Don't even try. They hate you. They don't want you around. When I'm like this, I realize it's only that way if I think it's that way, if I make it that way. I don't know, in a crazy way, it's like the way I used to be when I would do public speaking when I was a pastor. When I first started, since I was at a big church, I would get asked to go to these workshops and do, breakout sessions at conferences and stuff like that. I was big time, man. And I would talk about discipline. I would talk about service structure. I would talk about creativity and do these different classes and breakout sessions and lead Q&As and talk about student leadership and all this kind of stuff. But I would stand there and get all worked up because I imagined that my average listener was this huge critic that was picking apart everything I said. And I would get unnaturally nervous and stuttery, and I would lose my point and suddenly couldn't read my notes. And I'd be very, I think, unimpressive because I imagined that everyone there was sizing me up and putting me down. The best thing that ever happened to me was starting to podcast because I podcasted and people listened and the numbers didn't lie. We grew. Our first show got 40-something downloads in the first week, which is crazy for a first-time show. We went from nothing to 40. And then within a few weeks to a month, we were getting 500 downloads a week. And it's just grown exponentially every year since then. And now we're creeping up on 20 years at the end of December. And you can't sit there and think the average listener is just sitting there hating everything I say, because that's not the way podcasting works. They don't stick around if they don't like you. They don't listen if they hate it. And it helped my ministry so much to know that I had a voice, that I had a sense of humor, that I had something to say that people wanted to listen to. And so I could stand up in front of a group of peers and say the things I needed to say. And I preached the thing when I preached to adults, when I was preaching to kids, I had no problem, but preaching to adults and stuff. And I started understanding that when people are there and they've dedicated their time, they got ready and they came to church and they came wanting something. They want spiritual edification. And so they're on your side because they want you to succeed in fulfilling their desire, right? And in a different way, it's that way. If I ever did stand-up comedy, it's the same way. I always imagine that it's going to be a horrible experience if I ever do it, because the critics out there, the ones that just love to, I'm just terrified of being heckled. But when people come and pay to go to a comedy show, they want to be entertained, right? So by default, whether they realize it or not, they want you to entertain them. They're on your side. They want to extract humor from what you're doing. And you would really have to work really hard, because even if you weren't funny, if you're genuine and real, and I don't know that I'm very funny, but I feel like I'm pretty genuine. So I think I would get a lot of love from an audience, even if my jokes didn't hit every time. But man, fear. But anyway, the way that relates to my kids is I think I by default feel like that they don't like me. And I think the thing is they don't know what to do with me either. Yeah. Yeah. Because I've been distant. Not intentionally, but I still fail. I got to fix it. I can fix it. And I got to do it in a way that's maintainable so that even when I'm down, I can at least tell them. Dad's going down. It's going to be rough. You know, just hang in there. But I always worry. I worry I'm going to call at the wrong time, that she's not going to want to talk to me. She's going to be busy. But you know what? It's about trying. It's about being interested. If I call and she doesn't have time, I still get credit for calling, right? If I call and it's a bad moment, bad time, I might be a little embarrassed and flustered when I get off the phone because it's going to be an effort. But I still get credit. Anyway, all started with texting. And then we go deep into something that I had on my notes, but wasn't going to talk about because it was so personal. Yeah. I should be available. I should be interested. I am. Truly am. And I miss him. I miss her so much. I miss her so much. Google Images every day sends me, hey, here's Halloween from 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And it's these pictures of the kids, you know, and they're so young and they just love you and they go everywhere you go and they want to do what you want to do. And my depression just beats me over the head. Like, because Jay went through a phase where he wanted to play video games together. And I would tell him no sometimes. When I'm down, I feel like I told him no every time, but we played together so many times. And you know how kids are, to where it's never enough. You know, they always want more. And so he did come every day and ask. But when I'm down, I'm like, James, you broke him. You hurt him. You told him no. And now you're regretting it. And you ruined him and you ruined your relationship. And it's like, no. But man, it feels that way when I'm down. I deal with so much crap. And it's all self-inflicted. It just takes everything that's wonderful about your life and turns it against you. Which leads me to my next point that I wanted to make. Because I referenced it last week. I talked about, do I use the energy I have when I'm up or do I maintain? Do I get super creative and allow myself to set myself up for failure later on when I go back down? Or do I just do the basics, podcasting, family relationships, work, and then when I fail, I just fall back into depression and I stop podcasting and that's pretty much about it that changes. But I talked it over with my wife and I told her what I was thinking about doing and she kind of thinks that even though it's going to kill me later on when I can't do it anymore, that I should do as much as I can when I can. And that's kind of been my slogan all along, is I do what I can when I can so that when I can't, it's not that big of a deal. Unfortunately, it's an imperfect slogan because when I can't, it's always a big deal, at least to me. Other people don't seem to mind as much. Like when I was down for 5 months of podcasting, people would rather me do shows, but they don't hate me for not doing it. Most of you guys probably say a prayer for me when you think about it, rather than thinking about, hey, when's that guy going to start podcasting again, loser? But I do. I am horrible at myself because it's not okay. Matter of fact, the higher I go, the farther I fall. But I can't stand not using energy while I have it because it's so bad when I'm down. When I'm normal, I need to do what I can do. So what I wanted to do this time was start a YouTube channel. So I have done that. I've started a gaming channel where my unique take on the whole thing is I go to Steam, which is a video game, online video game store. I go to the most recent games, and I find one that was released that day, and I play it, record myself playing it, and I'm very positive about it and supportive about it. Or even if I'm critical, I'm still very positive about it. I pretend like a friend asked me to review their game. Because a lot of people have done this before where they play recent games, but then they trash them. And they'll even use dumpsters as icons in their thumbnails and all that kind of stuff. So I want to be kind of like I am for that story show. And for this, I want to bring some positivity and love to that area. And so I started a YouTube channel. It's called Day Old Games. And I've done exactly one video. And it's about a game called Green Soldier. It was made by a first-time publisher. And I edited it. Well, I filmed it, edited it, put it up. And I went from 0 views to 313 views after the first 3 days. Today's the third day. And I have 46 subscribers from 0. Now, I pulled on every lead I could. I sent it to my mailing list. I sent it to patrons. I sent it out to every social media outlet I have. And I pulled on everybody. And so a lot of those subscribers are probably friends and family. But 313 views are from people. And a few of those subscribers are not, many of them actually are not friends and family. Because I can tell. They tell me, they don't tell me where they come from. They tell me where most of them came from. And I know how many came from the mailing list. And that was the greatest source of traffic, was after I sent the mailing list out. So I have 46 subscribers. 313 views after 3 days. And the best comment that I've gotten like 14 comments, was from the guy that made the game. So I want to share that with you. He says, I just got this video forwarded by my brother and I was flabbergasted. First and foremost, thank you for making a video about my game. I simply loved to watch it. It was so much fun seeing someone who doesn't know why I developed which feature in which way play the game for the first time, and I especially liked watching you figure everything out on your own. It was really a joy. I'm glad the achievement bug was brought to my attention and could be resolved quickly. I sent you a little Steam award as a thank you for the constructive criticism in your review. As I see, you've already gotten the achievement, which I am glad to hear. That means you actually like the game enough to finish it again. And I'm really thankful for the high praise. I hope to bring some joy with the game when I watch your video. I think most gladly that I was able to achieve that. It's awesome, isn't it? So I've already gotten so much out of this. And I bless somebody. A first-time game developer, he had to pay $100 to put that thing on Steam. And he has no promotion, no way to promote it. He's charging only $1. And I made a video, and it was a blessing to him. And that would have not happened if I had chosen to maintain. So even though this is guaranteed, guaranteed to crush me when the day comes that I can't do it, and I'm going to let everybody down, and I'll lose momentum, and the subscribes won't come in, and the views won't come, at least I will have done this much for this guy. You know? So, I guess that's it for this week. If you pray for me to be a better father. And pray that my YouTube channel will be a blessing to other people. I hope you're doing well. And know that I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to a nice long period of doing just fine. And I'm hoping it'll last a long time. Like, you know, 9 months to 12 months would be fantastic. Lasting forever would be even better than that. I would love one of these days to just be up and be up for the rest of my life, like the old days. Because I would love to continue making podcasts. I love right now being back in the swing of things with That Story Show and GOK, and now with the Day Old Games channel. I love that. I love it. I love producing and being productive. I love not being super depressed and tired all the time and miserable. I love feeling like there's hope in every day. So I hope it lasts. So pray that it will. How about that? Thank you, supporters, for your support on Patreon. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.